first chapter of Hilchos Eidus, the Laws of Testimony, which contains a total of 22 parakim. Today's perek contains 6 halachas and gives general principles regarding the responsibility to testify and the general parameters of how the witnesses are examined. Hilchos Eidus, the Laws of Testimony. Yesh b'chlal and shmeina mitzvahs, it includes a total of 8 of the 613 mitzvahs, sholosh mitzvahs eseh v'chamesh mitzvahs leis eseh, 3 positive and 5 negative commandments. V'zehu proton, these are the specifics. L'hoid l'bezdin l'misha yesh l'eidus, firstly, to testify in court, if you have testimony to say, beis lidresh v'lachker ha'edim, the commandment on the court to intensely examine the witnesses, gimel shelo yeda ha'ed b'din ze shehed alav b'din nefashes, that a witness to a capital case should not later on become act as a judge, dalet shelo yokum dover b'ed echad, not to make a determination based on only one witness, he shelo yoid bala veda, that one who has it was a sinner may not testify, vav shlo yoid korev, that a relative may not testify, zayin shlo lohoid b'sheker, not to give false testimony, and ches lasis leid zemim kasher zomam, that a false witness who has been proven that he was not even present at the event which he claims to have witnessed, gets the punishment that he wished to inflict on the person he was testifying about. Uvir mitzvahs elu b'prokim elu, the explanation of these mitzvahs is in the following prokim. Perek Rishon, the first perek, halacha aleph. Ha'ed mitzuva lohoi b'bezdin b'chol edu sheyodeya. A witness is commanded to testify in court in the bezdin to anything he might know, any pertinent testimony. Bein be'edu sheyachayiv bo eschaveiroi, bein be'edu sheyazakeyu bo'i. Whether it is something which is going to make a person chayiv, for example, he has testimony that a certain person will cause a certain person to have to pay money, or whether it is testimony to his advantage, for example, that he has already repaid a loan or something of the sort. Regardless of the result of his testimony, he has a requirement to testify. This applies only under the following two conditions, that it is a monetary case and he has been requested to testify. Should it be a capital case or something having to do with a prohibition, he must testify even if he has not been asked. But in a monetary case, only after he has been requested to give his testimony is he required to go. And how do we know that there is a responsibility according to the Torah to testify? Shenemar, it says in Vayikra, Perek Hei, Halacha, Pasuk Aleph, V'hu Eir Eiro Eiyoda. If a witness saw something or knows something, im lo yagid v'nosa v'ne, should he not declare it, should he not testify, he must bear the sin. Which shows that since he is punished for not testifying, we see automatically that there is a mitzvah to testify. The Gemara learns out from this pasuk as well that the requirement to testify in a monetary case is only upon request. As the Gemara learns from the word lay, written in the Pasuk, is not written lay, lamed aleph, as it usually is. It is written lamed vav aleph. Why is it written in such a way? You could read the same word as lay, lamed vav, meaning to him. Meaning, im lay yagit, if you are testifying for him, meaning upon his request, on his behalf. However, the simple meaning of the verse is still preserved. Lay with an aleph that if you do not testify, then you must bear the sin. Halacha Beis. This, as well as the next halacha, deal with various exemptions to this law of the responsibility of testimony. Honya ha'eid chacham gadlu, v'hoye bebezdin pachas mimeno b'chachma. Let's say the witness should be a great sage, and the bezdin, the court which is hearing the case, should be inferior to him in wisdom. Hoyel ve'ein kveide sheyelich lifneihem, since it is not in keeping with his degree of kovet, of honor, that he should go to them, asei shel kovet teira odif, v'yeshlei lehimaneya. We should give precedence to the kovet ha-teira, the honor deserving, due to his great Torah knowledge, and therefore he can withhold his testimony. He does not have to go. What is done in such a case? The Bet Din sends 3 people to him in order to hear his testimony. Not that he is not required to testify, he is, but he is not required to go to this court which is inferior to him in wisdom. However, Bamed Dvorim Amurim, when does this apply? That he has the right not to go to the Beis Din and testify by Eidus Momon. Only if it is testimony regarding monetary matters. Aval Be'edus Shema Frishbot Min Ha'Isser became Be'edus Nefashos Oymakes. But if it's testimony which is meant to keep someone from doing a prohibition. For example, a woman comes to remarry based on testimony that her husband has died, and he knows the husband is still alive. Became by Eidus Nefasha, so too, regarding a capital case, or a mock case, or when the person will have to endure lashes as a result of the testimony, whether he is going to prevent him from getting makas, or is going to be mechayev in makas, hoylichu meid. In this case, he is required to go to the court and testify, even should he be superior to them in Torah knowledge. How do we know? Shenemar, it says in Mishlei, Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Lamed, in Chochma Vein Tzvuna, no neged Hashem, that there is no importance, or there is no special treatment given to chokhmah, to wisdom or understanding, leneged Hashem, literally against Hashem, meaning kol makam sheish chil Hashem ein cholkim kovid l'rav. Any place involving a desecration of God's name, we do not give kovid to a person who is great for some reason. So therefore, since we are involved in an act which is leneged Hashem, it involves desecrating God's name. Therefore, we do not care about chokhmah and tvuna. Halacha gimel. Kayin Gadol ain't a chayev lahayid. A Kayin Gadol is not required to testify. Ela edu shehi lamelech Yisrael bilvad hoylich lebezden a gadol umeid ba. The only exception for the Kayin Gadol is the testimony which is relevant to the Jewish king. In that case, he goes to the great Sanhedrin and testifies. Avol b'shar ha'edius poter. But regarding any other sort of testimony, he is exempt. And again here, as in the previous halacha, this is because of the kavod, the additional respect and honor which is due to the high priest, the Kohen Gadol. However, since his testimony in this case would affect the melech, the king who is accorded even greater respect, then he does testify. This, incidentally, is only mitzad the din, only strictly according to the law. However, as we learned previously in the second chapter of Hilcha Sanhedrin and Halacha Hey, that in practice this was not done, that a court case was not taken place in the presence of the Sanhedrin regarding a king. As the Rambam there mentions, that since the Malkei Yisroel were not subjugated to the words of the Sanhedrin, sometimes there would be a takala, a mishap would occur. As the story is told regarding Shimon ben Shetach, that once the slave of Yanai HaMelech, the king Yanai, killed someone, and he was brought to the Sanhedrin, and the owner of the slave also was required to come to the din. And Yanai came and refused to stand up in order to give testimony as to what happened. In this case, Shimon Shetach said he had to stand up, and the rest of the Sanhedrin refused to back him up as a result of the fear of King Yanai. At that moment, Shimon ben Shetach said that the one who knows all thoughts, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should take revenge against those who do not properly perform the din, who do not carry out their function. At that moment, all the members of the Sanhedrin were killed by the angel Gavriel. At that moment, they decreed, shortly after, a decree was made that Malchei Yisrael should not be judged by the Sanhedrin. Halacha Dalet. Mitzvahs esse lidresh es ha'edim ulachokrom ulaharbeis b'sheilosum umedaktikim aleihem. It is a positive mitzvah, the second mitzvah now out of the eight in Hilchas Eidus, a positive mitzvah to examine the witnesses and to give them close examination and to ask them many questions and to be very exacting in their testimony. And we move them from one concept, one subject to another. We change back and forth from one question to another, different types of questions, in order that they should silence themselves. In other words, if there's anything that they are really not sure, in order that they should not blurt out an entire story that they are really not certain of, we change them around from one detail to a different detail, until if they are in any doubt, they will not testify at all for fear that they are becoming mixed up. Or that they will change their mind and reverse their testimony if there is some unclarity or some lack in their testimony. In other words, either they will be quiet or forget about their testimony completely, since they are really not sure, they would rather not say it. How do we know that one is required to give such intense examination to the witnesses? Shenamar, it says in Devarim, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tezvav, V'darashto v'chakarto v'shaalto heitev, that you should examine them and question them and very intensely examine them.
וצריכים הדיירים להיזהר באיז חקירת העדים, שמא מתוך ילמדו לשקר.
However, the judges must be very careful when they are examining the witnesses, that perhaps the witnesses will learn to lie from their questions. They cannot ask any leading questions, for example, that perhaps it happened like this, or if it would be like this, then he would be chayiv, or he would be potter, and so on and so forth. They must be very careful in the way they ask their questions, in order to preserve the accuracy of the testimony.
And there are seven different types of questions which called chakiras, by which they examine the witnesses, having to do with basically the time and the place of the event.
Literally in which week, meaning in which year of the Shemitah cycle, that since the years go in 7 year cycles, the seventh one being a Shemitah, they will know which year in relevance to the Shemitah it is. That's the first question. Secondly, Be'ezah Shana, in which year was it? In other words, what is the general count of the year? Be'ezah Chaydish is the third examining question, in which month? Be'kama Be'chaydish, in which day of the month? Be'ezah Yemi Me'a Shabbos, which day of the week was it? Be'kama Shores Ba'yem, and how many hours of the day was it? What time was it? And in what place did the event happen? These are the seven questions. And afila omar hayem harge, oy emesh harge. And even if he says that he was killed today or he was killed yesterday, shailin lahem ba'ez a shvua, ba'ez a shana, ba'ez a chedesh, ba'chama ba'chedesh, ba'ez a yem, ba'ez a shah. We nevertheless ask in which year of the cycle, in which, what was the year, what was the month, which day of the month, which day of the week, and what hour did it take place. All of these questions we ask in spite of the fact that he says it was today or yesterday. And as the commentaries explain there in the Gemara, the purpose of all of this questioning, in spite of the fact that it is said clearly it happened today, is in order to move them from one subject to another and change from one question and one type of question to another, that if there's any uncertainty, they will change their minds. And in addition to these seven chakiras, which are equal to by every different sort of case, there's another category of question which is included in chakiras. Shine idu alav she'avad aveda zara, she'elim lahem es ma'avad ube'ez aveda avad. If it's testimony regarding someone that worshipped an idol, we ask the witnesses, what did he serve, what idol, ube'ez aveda avad, and what type of service did he do, did he bow down to it, did he sacrifice to it, and so on. This is also included chakiras, even though it's not one of the seven questions. And so too, Heidu Shechilas HaShabbos, let's say the testimony was regarding a desecration of Shabbos, Sheilim Aisam Eizu Malacha Asa V'Heyach Asa. We ask, which malacha was done, which act of prohibited activity was done, and how did he do it? Did he do it a regular way? Did he do it with someone else? And so on and so forth. Heidu Shechil B'Yom HaKippurim, Sheilim Aisam Eizu Meichel Achal V'Kama Achal. Should there be testimony regarding someone who ate on Yom Kippur, we ask, what was it that was eaten, and how much did he eat? This is all a main point of the testimony, because it could be something which was not edible, therefore he would not get such a strict punishment. And should he have eaten a small amount, also he could not be punished according to Torah law. Should there be testimony that they are saying a person killed another, then we ask, what did he kill him with? So too, any similar questions regarding the main part of the act which took place, they are also included in the chakiras, although they are not one of these seven specific questions. Halacha hei. Chakiras vadrishas heim advarim shem ikar ha'edus ubehem yischayev o yepater. This whole idea of chakira and drisha, these questions, are those things which are the main part of their testimony, which will determine whether the person is guilty or innocent. Behem kavanas ha'maisa sha'asa, and this is the exact act which was done, the kivan hazman, the exact time, the kivan hamakom, the exact place, shabahen yizemu ha'edim ala yizemu, that with them, with the idea of time and place, we determined whether we can make hazama on the witnesses or not. Because you cannot do hazama to contradict the witnesses until they say an exact time and place. What is the idea of hazama? As we mentioned in the introduction to this parak, hazama is when
witnesses testify and say that they saw something, and other witnesses come and say that they did not see that. This is not hazama. This is hakasha. One set of witnesses is contradicting the others. However, the first set of witnesses says that we saw such an act take place at such and such a time and place, and another set of witnesses come and say that at that time and place, you were with us somewhere else, and it's impossible you could have seen anything happen at that time and place. This is not merely a contradiction. This is not going against their testimony. This is against the witnesses themselves. This is called hazama. And as we mentioned, the law of the Torah is that these witnesses themselves are punished. They are not only canceled out. The punishment that they wish to mete out to the defendant, they themselves must endure. In any case, the law of the Gemara is that in order to be valid testimony, it must be eidu sheyochol lahazima, testimony which could be subject to hazama. Therefore, it must contain the time and place, because if we don't put the proper time and place with the testimony, it would be impossible to have hazama. How could witnesses say that at that time you were with us in another place if they didn't give an exact time and place? Therefore, they are included in the ikur ha'edus and the idea of chiras and drishas. Now, the final halach of the parak, halach above. Va'oid marbin livdei ka'edim bedvarim she'enam ikur ba'edus ve'ena tluya bahem. And we also ask a great deal of questions, we make a lot of examination, even though it should not be relevant to the main testimony, and it should not be the outcome would not be dependent on these details. The Heiman Ikroin Bedikes. These are known as Bedikes. Not Chakidas and Drishas, which are in the Ikara Eidus, but Bedikes. The Kol Amarbi Bedikes Hareize Meshubach. The judge who asks a great deal of Bedikes is more praiseworthy. Kesar heina bedikas, and what kind of bedikas do we use? Hareisha heidu alav shaharak. Let's say someone testified that someone was murdered. Vanechkru besheva chakire shemaninu shein bakavanas hazman bakavanas hamakom, and he was already examined regarding the seven chakires that we already listed previously regarding the exact time and exact place. Venidrushu bakavanas hamaisa, vakivnu akli shaharku bay. And they are examined regarding the exact act which took place. Other versions of the Rambam have over here the words v'kivnu ha'maisa, that they exactly determined the act which took place. Others, however, that Ksav Yateman, for example, omits these two words. V'kivnu ha'klisha hargubay, and they exactly and determined the murder weapon. V'itkim eisam eid, we examine them further. V'aimrim lahem, and tell them, maha yulavush ha'nerag ha'hayreg. What was the dress that the murdered person or the murderer was wearing? Begadim levanim or shechedim, white clothing or black clothing? Ofar ha'aret shenerag aleha, lavan ha'adim, the ground upon which he was murdered, was it white or was it red? What color clay? Elu chiyitza behen heina bedikas. These questions and similar ones are called bedikas. Ma'isa sha'amro ha'edim, it once happened that the witnesses said, that he was killed in such and such a place underneath a fig tree. The judges examined the witnesses and told them, the figs that were growing on the tree, were they black or were they white? The stems of those fruits, were they long or were they short? And anyone that asks a great deal of questions such as this of bedikas is more praiseworthy, even though, obviously, the color of the figs on the tree or the length of the stem had no relevance to the actual testimony itself. Nevertheless, asking many of these questions to clarify the testimony is nevertheless a praiseworthy thing. In the next perek, the Rambam will give us the halachic difference between chakires and bedikas, since they do not have the same standing in halacha. Obviously, since the bedikas are not in the main act which was done, and are not of primary importance, the bedikas are not, whereas the chakires are.